wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, good morning to you. It is Tuesday, the 13th day of May. I'm Andy Griffin, live here in the KDXU studios. With me, Steve Dunham, the communications director for the Washington County School District, and he brought a friend today.
Tell us about
your friend a little bit.
Well, Superintendent Holmes decided to join us today.
Nice. Richard, thank you for coming.
Good morning.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Good. I'm well.
You've been, is it about a, been a year? Two years?
A couple years.
A couple years now since Larry retired. Yep. So, wow. Well, how you feeling about your job? You loving it still?
Yes.
Except for meetings?
There are a lot of meetings.
A lot of meetings.
It's a, you know what makes the job so good, so great, are the people that work for us and our students. We have the best. The best students, best teachers. The best administrators, support staff. It's a wonderful district.
We feel that way too.
It's a pretty special place down here in Southern Utah, don't you think?
I do. Yeah, I do. How long have you been down here in Southern Utah, Richard?
You know what? I've been here 35 years.
A little more. I've been here 30, so you got me beat by a couple of years.
A lot of changes. But it's, I have to confess, I don't like August. It's too hot for me. But I think I have to wonder if that's what people feel like in March when they're tired of the winter up north.
That's true.
You know.
That's true.
But this is a very beautiful, unique, special place.
Now, unlike some of the school teachers and other staff, you work all through the summer as superintendent.
All summer.
So it's not like you get the you get to go on a big old long trip either and go to cooler climes. You're out there working every day.
Yes.
So and Steve too, right?
I'm all summer long. We were just able to celebrate 65 retirees last night, too, at our board meeting.
65?
Yeah, it was a big group. Wow. It was a lot of fun.
That is a huge group.
It was a very big group.
Mostly teachers or staff members?
Everything.
Yeah,
a little bit of everything.
Across the board.
We had custodians. Yeah. We had cafeteria workers.
Are we losing any
secretaries?
Principals?
Yeah.
We are losing some principals?
No. One principal, Pineview High School, Mike Meese.
Oh, Mike. Yeah,
Mike is going to hang it up. Mike's put in a lot of years. And they said some things about him yesterday that I did not know. He was Mr. Wyoming for football.
Wow.
Or when he was in high school, like the outstanding athlete in the state. And somebody said he played a little bit of pro football. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I knew he played. Uh-huh. He was a kicker for BYU. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I didn't know that about him either. Now I have some fuel, ammo to give him a hard time.
We will miss him.
Kicker, Mike?
All the employees, they were great. They were wonderful. It was a great evening.
Pretty amazing. 65 employees. And how many total employees does the school district have? Like 1,000?
Full-time, we have about 1,600 or 1,800 full-time.
Teachers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's teachers.
Yeah, we're around 4,000 or 5,000, I think.
Yes.
Employees.
Oh, yes.
Wow, and not enough bus drivers still.
And never enough bus drivers.
Never enough
bus drivers. Especially when spring sports come around and playoffs.
Last week and this week, becomes very transparent that we don't have enough buses and enough drivers.
You guys get your CDL so you can drive and...
it's been tempting.
I think being a bus driver is a unique job because not only do you have to have the technical part of it, driving a big vehicle, an oversized vehicle, but then you've got to be able to be somewhat able to deal with crowds and kids. And that's not necessarily meant for everyone. My son is a truck driver, but I don't think he could do a school bus because they would eat him alive, you know. So.
Well, they're supposed to still behave as if they were at school. So there are some protections in place for our drivers, but
we are very appreciative of our bus drivers. They're great. We mentioned it. All of the activities, they're lifesavers this time of year. For example, we had 19 buses head north last weekend.
Wow.
11 for state choir competitions, 8 for high school athletics, and it'll be similar this week. We got baseball going on, and we're always happy that it's close to home. And this time it's in our backyard
at
Utah Tech, so we don't have, and we had a lot of teams playing, and so it would have been a lot of our schools on the road if it was up north. And so we're fortunate.
Do they order any kind of bus when the game's here in town, or do they just say everybody meet at the field, or do you know?
That's a good question.
I honestly don't know either.
I think
I haven't seen any buses. Yesterday, I didn't see any buses.
I think that the parents bring them.
I do. I think it's both. I'll see in the fall the kids get on the bus for the travel from Pine View to Snow Canyon or to Hurricane for a football game.
One of the things I was curious about, there's such a great emphasis on STEM, and I was like, okay, the E must mean English, but it's engineering. I was like, what about English and what about the language arts? And then you go, okay, well, we go language. What about the arts? And there's so much focus in modern times of STEM, on STEM, but how important, Mr. Superintendent, sir, how important is it to the other stuff around the core STEM stuff?
It's very important. And interesting you bring up STEM. We recognized 4 teachers who were teachers of the year for STEM. Mm-hmm.
For the state.
For the state.
Wow.
Last night, and 3 from Hurricane High School, and then a elementary teacher. So we really thrive and encourage our students to participate in that. But we try to focus on all of those to include, you mentioned the fine arts, an indicator that we do really love the fine arts is we have some amazing teachers, and for us to send and fill 11 buses for last week's state choir competition is a good indicator that our fine arts program is doing extremely well. I think we're very versatile, and we focus, we make sure that we pay attention to all of our programs to include STEM or STEAM, where you add the arts.
Yeah.
But if you've got, just because Hurricane High School had 3 outstanding Teacher of the Year in STEM, doesn't mean that they don't focus on their fine arts programs as well, because they have great fine arts.
For those that aren't familiar, STEM is science, technology, engineering, and mechanical?
And math.
Math. Yes. Right, math. Okay.
And if you look at it, engineering is really problem solving.
Right.
You're engineering something. You're finding a better way to do it. And so you're solving the problems that arise.
It's kind of a big old catch-all word, engineering, isn't it? Because there are so many different kinds of engineering.
Yeah.
So, but I think there's enough empirical evidence or enough studies out there that show we do really, like you said, we need arts. We need, music and band and I mean, pottery class, whatever it might be, because that helps to, I think having the arts helps that student, the young person, to excel at other stuff too.
Yeah, absolutely.
They learn a lot of skills.
There's research that shows that those who participate in those programs do extremely well in school. You know, when they're involved in whether it's choir or orchestra or band, their academic performance in math and language arts, science excels. So I think we really try to make sure we have a well-rounded program, a well-rounded student who's offered all of the offerings that we possibly can. Now, some focus on certain pathways, mm-hmm. but in general, we hope that a student gets a broad experience in our schools.
Now, Career Tech has been open. Is it the second year?
Second year.
Yeah.
Yes.
I haven't met anybody that doesn't think Career Tech is an awesome deal. I mean, the fact that it's helped maybe some students who weren't necessarily really that interested in traditional school find a niche, find an area where they can go and flourish.
Yeah, it's a perfect school for that. Have you been to the school, Andy?
I have been to school. Yeah.
It's great, and there's a wonderful feel there. I'll give you.
We also, by the way, had Chris Homer, the principal of the school, on the show too.
Chris is great. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a class, and he may have mentioned it, but what you said is right. It's we know it's not maybe for every student, mm-hmm. but some students it's that perfect niche for them. But we had students in the first couple of years. This is our second year. Who ran for student government, exec council, who never would have done so right. in their other schools. And they have just blossomed. So, and you go and you visit with those students, they love their programs, they love those pathways that they're involved with, and it's a great school.
Are there any pathways, I can't remember them all now, are there any pathways that are maybe a little bit of a surprise, that, especially ones that you're like, wow, I didn't know that would be popular. Can you think of any, Steve or Richard?
No, probably the most popular one that we have a lot of students who want to get into it is the medical one. That's a really popular one. Interestingly enough, the construction one is popular. Hmm. To include young women that join and go into that pathway. It's great. We toured the home that they built, and there were,
it was in the Parade of Homes.
Yeah, in the Parade of Homes, and there were four students there with us, two young men and two young women. And it was great.
You know, in our education pathway, we just recognized our education teacher last night at the board meeting. And he goes, you know, this was exciting to see all these retirees. And he goes, I just want you to know, I have 55 students in our education pathway ready to take their spots here in another year or two. So that's exciting for us.
Yeah. All right. Now, I wanted to talk. Steve and I talked about it last month some, but the cell phone policies. Statewide, they tried to institute a policy and got a little bit of pushback. And I'm wondering what you guys are hearing. I like the idea of bell to bell, no cell, right?
Yeah.
We talk about, you know, once you come to school, put the phone away until you get out of school. But there was some pushback. There's some parents that weren't happy about that. What are you hearing, Richard?
You know, overall, majority. This is probably one policy that is tied to a state law. And so obviously it's going to get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Therefore, you would have wondered what kind of pushback or support we would have received. I would have bet and be willing to say 90% minimum that the feedback we got was positive. Hmm. They liked it. I think parents appreciated the thought that we're trying to have our students spend less time on those devices.
Yeah.
Less distraction.
Less distraction, where they can go and interact more face to face, socially talk, you know, rather than communicate on a phone. So those are, again, it was really well received. We tweaked it just a little bit. We'll see if we need to change it in a year, but right now K through nine is bell to bell. Students, they come. We don't have the pouches. That was an option in the state law. You could put it in a pouch. I've never had that experience, but apparently if you go to a concert,
yeah, they don't can't even receive the signal, right?
Yeah.
If they're in those?
Yeah. But the students will just put them in their backpacks or their lockers, and then.
So we're not confiscating them. We're not taking them away.
Now, if a student, you know, is consistently violating the policy, they could stand the chance of losing a phone or having it confiscated, at least for the day, till parents come and pick it up. High schools, they're not to be out or used during the class. Lunchtime during high school is a little more challenging because many of those students go off campus.
Yeah.
So it was like, hey, we can't monitor that when they leave. And so it's during class time only. We'll see how the passing time goes. I think we had a little question, some thinking, well, we should just do bell to bell for K-12, but our high school principals were, let's try it for a year. They have a big enough job as it is,
yeah.
And they were a little, they want to see how it goes before they, there's only about a 4 or 5 minute passing time, so the students may not have a lot of time to access it, but right now that's how it is.
Steve and I talked about this last month, but I have a daughter-in-law, and she just has little kids at this point. I think that her oldest are just starting, they're twins, they're just starting kindergarten, maybe first grade, I can't remember. But she basically came out and said, I will, you will pry the cell phone out of my dead kids' hands before I let you take them from them. And I was a little shocked because her dad is a police chief and she's a pretty pretty law-abiding type person. But she has come out and said, we're not doing this. This is, and you've got to have a few parents like that, right, that are going, I'm not doing that.
I'd imagine so. And I think they'll come around and, probably at the elementary level, some of the concerns we had was with the
the watch,
the Gab watch, and that.
Apple watch, yeah.
They're okay to take and wear those. Apparently there's a silent mode you can put those on. So we just ask that the students keep those on silent mode. Parents at that age are very concerned and protective and want to make sure that they have access to kids, that we can assure them that if there's a situation going on, students can go to the office and make contact with parents and that. So,
and it's funny, everybody's like, well, you're taking away my kids' rights when you do that. Well, guess what? We all have rights to, if I want to commit murder, guess what? That's against the law. Well, you're taking away my right to kill somebody. Well, yes, that's true. And it's the same as with rules in school. Kids can't do certain things.
Right.
You can't show up in a G-string, at school, or you can't, you walk around the halls. Now I'm dating myself with a boombox on your shoulder playing, vulgar rap music or what. Do they even make boomboxes anymore, Steve?
I don't know.
You know, Costco sold a Bluetooth speaker that was this big, and it had a radio function on it. And I'm like, I guess they're coming back. Let's circle.
I have one kind of like that for my pool in the backyard. It's like a boombox-ish kind of thing. So, but certainly we have. You can call them rights if you want, but there are certain things we're not allowed to do, all of us, to have a civil society. And so to say, this is a rule we need to make schools function better.
And that's really an important piece. But I have to wonder, Andy, that an even more important piece is that we are trying to help students not rely on these 24/7. And that they're such a great tool and an amazing, it's a miracle that they, you think back in our time when we went to high school or junior high, nothing like this even existed even in our minds, at least my mind. But now they're consumed with them. And it's to the point where all the research points that it too much is not a good thing.
Yeah. It becomes addictive. It becomes a desire, a need that they have to have them with them, and we get panic attacks when they're taken away, and we get.
And I don't think that's. I personally don't think that's our role in education to add to that addiction.
No.
If we can do anything to help with it, this is an example of what we can do. And I imagine there are a lot of options, and I'm certainly not pushing people away, but. There are so many different schools and routes to schooling nowadays. If parents feel like that this is where we need to be, I need the access to technology 24/7. I'm certain there are schools, whether it's a private school or home school or online school, that they'd have access to do that.
Now, one of the early arguments against, banning cell phones in schools was some teachers would say, but we use the functions on the phone to help us with our classwork. I haven't heard that as much lately.
No.
Have the teachers backed off of that?
I think they have, yes. Yep. I think there's been a shift and a bigger push to do that more interactive classroom instruction. In there, students, we have technology in the classroom. They have Chromebooks, things like that they can get on for assignments or information items. So I don't believe the phones are used that often as a source of teaching.
Yeah, well, that's good.
And another perspective, Andy, is I think I mentioned to you about the safety element. If there is a crisis at the school,
and that's kind of my daughter-in-law's thinking, the safety element of it.
Yeah, but the safety element is really. if there is an active shooter in a school, we do not want parents texting their children because there's a noise or a sound that can come from those devices that can notify the bad person where they're hiding.
Yeah.
And that can be very detrimental to a lot of kids. And so, you know, we really encourage it, and we recognize it's hard. Yeah, we don't want you reaching out. We don't want you creating that noise, that potential for somebody bad to find these good kids.
That's a good point. And even if you're, okay, my phone's on silent. Guess what? It makes a little noise.
Or it lights up, and they see a glow or whatever.
You know,
or
yes. Something like that, yeah. So, yeah, that's a good point. The one thing, you know, that I'm actually struggling with now, we're finally addressing and recognizing that these can be a real problem with young people. But now we've got to transition. I know this isn't your guys' area, but we've got to transition it now to adults and the fact that the kids are, of course, they're addictive on their own, but their kids are also seeing mom and dad spend hours at a time on these phones.
Yep, you're right.
And they're looking at that and going, well, if they can do it, why can't I? Right? So.
Yeah. You bring up a hard fact for us to face. I occasionally will get kicked under the table by my good wife when I'm on my phone and I should be focused on family.
That's a good point. So, you know, and I talked about this yesterday on the show. When someone's in the room and you pick up the phone and look at it, what you're saying, maybe unintentionally, is this is more important than you. And that hurts, kind of.
Sounds like my wife.
It's true. And it may be a very important text. You know, my wife often will get, you know, the kids say, hey, mom, can you do this? Or, hey, mom, what about this? And from our grown kids. But as we're sitting at dinner together and she's looking down at her phone, oh, it's just a quick, I'm just going to answer them real quick. You know, I'm kind of like, ouch. So do you, I know this isn't your area of expertise, but do you guys see some laws someday coming down the line about grown-ups and cell phone use? I mean, it's tough.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't about know. That
but I will tell you this. I don't know, Steve, if you've done anything like this, but with this recent law and our cell phone policy, it's really made me think of what we've been talking about in the last few minutes. I've been a little more conscious about, okay, sitting in a meeting, making sure I'm not looking at my phone when I should be focused elsewhere or at home. So I hope it helps me to maybe break some bad habits or focus more and do less screen time.
Very well said. Might be that might be the start of it right there, just being aware and going, okay, I need to be better at this. So, guys, I got to get a commercial break in. When we come back, we'll talk more about phones. Also want to talk a little bit about books. What books have been banned? How many of them have the State Board of Education banned in the state of Utah? And is that trickling down to us? We'll talk about that when we come back. All right, let's talk a minute about Angelica's Mexican restaurant. Now, what do you do if you want to try something new? If you're like me, you're probably going to look it up on Google or Yelp or something and try to find the reviews on if the place is any good. Well, I can tell you now, over 2,700 reviews for Angelica's Mexican Grill. And, you know, if you go to, say, a flooring company, 4.7, 4.8, that's what you expect. If you can get a restaurant that's over 4 stars, you know this is a great place. Angelica's, how about this, 4.5-star average with 2,710 Google reviews. That's pretty amazing. Now, Angelica's is located right downtown, 101 East St. George Boulevard. Google describes it as a cheery Mexican eatery dishing out traditional street grub in a cozy, art-adorned space. It really is. It is so fun to go there. I recently discovered their pickled habanero onions, and I know you're thinking, that's weird, I don't like onions, I don't like pig. I didn't think I would like it, and then my son-in-law shared it with me. I was like, okay, next level, here we go. Angelica's Mexican Grill, again, they're located downtown. They're they were actually the very first AG approved sponsor here on KDXU, and they've been with me now I think 5 or 6 years. So love these guys. Go by and try their try their sweet pork. It is second to none. It's Angelica's Mexican Restaurant. Angelica's is AG approved.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. Richard Holmes is here. He's the superintendent here of the Washington County School District. And you say, well, you know, if you're in Moscow, Idaho, by the way, when I was working up in Idaho, every school, every kind of little, what do they call it, cone site? You know, high school, yes. Junior high, and a couple of elementary schools, everyone had their own district. It was it was a very weird thing. Like, the Moscow School District. Well, how big is it? Well, we got one high school. Okay. But Washington County School District is just a little bit larger than that, Richard, isn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit. I think the fifth largest in the state.
Yep.
We have, right around 48 schools. And counting our online students, a little over 40,000 students.
40,000 students. That's a lot of people they're responsible for, yeah. And sadly, Steve told us a few months back that a lot of them need, what do they call it? What's the phrase now? Hunger? They're hungry.
Yeah, they're free and reduced food.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about,
Andy? A lot of them go hungry. And in fact, they get food at school, and then on Fridays they're kind of sad because they have to go home. And there's not really much food at home, and it's very
correct.
Sad. Yeah,
but we have agencies from the community, and as well as our own foundation, that kind of steps up to help out wherever we can, and give little weekend go packs to those kiddos.
That brings to mind then, what about the summertime now?
So we're actually kicking into the free lunch that we offer at different schools and areas in the community. And so we're going to be offering that this summer, too.
I think, I don't know about all of them, but, you know, we're opening teen centers in our high schools.
Yeah,
most
I heard
of them.
About that, yeah.
But I know some of those teen centers in high schools have pantries, and they will open those up a couple of times a week during the summer for students to come over.
Nice.
and to help out.
I was actually just looking online to see if it's on our website yet, because I've received the flyer, and I'm going to find it here, and I'll bring it up for you in just one second. But we do have the flyer. We do have the sites established at how many sites that we'll have the lunch over the summer, and we're still trying to help out in this community however we can. And so here we go. It is, let's see. Yeah, it's going to be on site at Paradise Canyon, Legacy Elementary, Washington Veterans Park, and then we'll have grab-and-go lunches at Bloomington Hills Elementary, Enterprise, Hurricane Community Center, and Leverkin Elementary.
So what do you have to have some sort of qualification for these, or is it just a matter of show up if you're hungry?
If it's on-site lunches, your child has to eat it there, and so your child has to come and eat it there. Grab-and-go sites, the parent has to arrive with the children, and then they can each grab a lunch sack, and then they can go and eat that wherever.
Very cool. And by the way, kudos to the mail carriers, whatever the national union is. Last Saturday was Stamp Out Hunger, where you got to, if you want non-perishable food, leave them by your mailbox. And they gathered tons and tons of food for all over the country.
That's awesome.
That was pretty cool.
And that summer lunch program is a Monday through Thursday, I should say, not on Friday.
Okay.
So Monday through Thursday.
I think, you know, even the most hardcore, you know, this America capitalism type person, we don't want anybody to be hungry.
No, that's, we really don't.
You know, and it doesn't matter your political views, I don't think. I think it's a matter of if someone's hungry, I have a hard time a little bit with panhandlers on the street give me money, because I've heard about professional panhandlers and some of them are going to spend money for drugs or alcohol or whatever, but I would gladly give anybody on the street some food.
Yeah.
If someone's hungry, let's get them some food. Nobody needs to be hungry, right?
Right.
So, I did want to talk for a minute about books. Just announced yesterday another book, 18 books now banned by the Utah Department of Education. And that brings to mind, like, what would qualify for a book to be banned? It seems like it must be fairly extreme. And I want to say this. I had kids go all the way up through public school, five of them, and I know there are certain books I didn't want my kids looking at, because there's some pretty vulgar stuff out there.
You know, so the state passed a law, I think it was 3 years ago, Superintendent, is that correct?
Three or four years ago,
and they were very clear in outlining what meets the criteria for removing a book from schools. And they call that the bright line rule. If it meets one of these three criteria, you can immediately pull
it. It's removed. We don't put a committee together to discuss it. If it violates one of those rules, it's out.
And then, go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say, we hear a lot from the really loud, some of the really loud left about that, saying, hey, you know, what is this, Germany? You know, are you Nazis? Burning books or whatever? But I know, Steve, you've talked about this. Age appropriate, at the very least. You've got to go. I mean, should my fifth grader be reading a book about, you know, whatever? I don't want to get too deep into it, but, you know, sexual nature or whatever. And the answer, I think, it should always be no, shouldn't it?
Yeah. And that's why there's some flexibility outside of the bright line rule, outside of those three elements that, you know, maybe it's just kind of a gray area and it doesn't really quite meet the criteria that's established in law. Then a parent can challenge that. We can review that, and the committee that's made up of parents and members of the district will review the book and say, you know what, this needs to be more of an age-appropriate type book, or this book maybe needs to be pulled as well. And they can decide that as a parent group that meets with district officials to review the book in its entirety, so they're taking everything in context and saying, yes, this still has some good, we'll keep it, but it's for age appropriate, you know, high school or whatever. Yeah. And then, or they can look at it and say, you know what, even with its overall criteria of the book, what it's trying to teach, what it's trying to share, it still does not meet the level we want as a community. We would prefer to have that removed.
Even with the best intentions of some of these books, you take a 13, 14, 15-year-old adolescent boy, and some of the stuff with good intent, they're going to twist into, you know, snicker, you know, because all three of us in this room at one point were 13, 14, 15-year-old boys. And
one of us still is, at least.
Yeah, so are there some clear guidelines? You mentioned Brightline. Are there other guidelines that you get as a superintendent or that you get at the district level, or is it up to you to make?
We stick in and follow the law very closely. In fact, I'd be willing to say, and not saying anything negative regarding any other districts, but I know the previous superintendent, Bergeson, was instrumental in helping with that bill. And I think we were probably the leader in terms of the beginning of any district of starting to remove those books. So we took it really serious. We were grateful for the law, the clarity of it, and we didn't feel that there was any grayness, I should say, with the law. It was very clear with that bright line. Mm-hmm. If it violated those things, we removed it. We didn't discuss it. We just, like, did it fit that? If so, then it's gone. And it's really not our role in public education to have those type of books on the shelves. Regardless of what people think, our job is to teach students, the state core. Hopefully parents can help at home with the moral compass that they can give them there. And we try to point the students in the right direction, but it's if we got that group of books up there that shouldn't be there, we don't need to have them there and put a screen around it and say, no, you can't go there unless you got parents. They just shouldn't be there.
Plus, if you put a screen around it, that would make them want it more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, in fact, many of those books were not even checked out. And I can tell you how those many got into the school. When our media specialists order books, they order a series of books by authors or award-winning authors. Or prizes that those folks have been recognized for, who have written those books, and they'll order, previous to this, they'd order in mass amounts.
Right.
And sometimes there are certain books within that was recognized worldwide or throughout the nation as being a great book. And, you know, we just weren't aware of it. But now we do a much better job. They have to read the book, make sure before we buy it that it's appropriate.
Right. I guess you got to figure out where the award came from, too. If somebody in Seattle gave a book an award, you're like, maybe you were going to say something, Steve?
I was going to say, and also come back to cell phones. You know, we talk about the 15-year-old boys. They're not going to our school libraries looking for stuff to dirty stuff. They have it in their hands in their cell phones.
I was going to say that's a good point. Things have changed a little bit since we were kids.
And so parents really do. That needs to start at home, as Superintendent said. They need to be getting that guidance and have some of those some safety measures put in place at home so that they don't access that stuff on their devices.
Well said. All right, let me get some commercials in. We'll come back. We're talking with Richard Holmes and Steve Dunham from the Washington County School District. 40,000 student strong school district. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, welcome back, Andy Griffin Show. This is hard for me to believe. We're talking Washington County Schools. It is graduation time already. And I was like, okay, well, that must start end of May, right? Maybe, actually,
oh, it's big.
Thursday?
It starts this week, and we have, I think, over 2,800 seniors that will be graduating. We congratulate them. I know they're so excited, and this is a wonderful time for them. We start Thursday at Post High. Those are our students who will have aged out of our program, and we'll do a little graduation ceremony for them, and that'll be wonderful.
Post High is our special needs school.
Special needs school.
Yeah, okay.
Then Friday is our Utah Online School, high school, and then we start Monday evening out at Water Canyon with our graduating class.
Nice.
Tuesday night, Enterprise High School. Then Wednesday, we start hitting the big schools. Mill Creek also is on Monday. Wednesday is Crimson Cliffs and Dixie High School, Pine View, at 8 o'clock in their stadiums, which, by the way, I watched the weather, I'm obsessed with it, and it's going to be a perfect day Wednesday.
Okay.
Cool, like 55 morning temperature, 80 high.
No
CT High is that night. No rain, knock on wood. And then Thursday, Desert Hills, Hurricane High, Snow Canyon at 8 a.m. A little warmer that day.
Mm-hmm.
So, good. You know, by the way, I had last week I was doing a ball game, and the school district, maybe the state, I don't know, has this very strict lightning policy. I thought it was really interesting.
It's state.
And this is how I understand it. If they detect a lightning strike, they have a little program, a little app, and within 3 miles, then the game is suspended for 30 minutes.
Yes.
And every subsequent lightning strike, so you could go to 29 minutes and be about ready to start again, another lightning strike, 30-minute clock starts over again. I was lucky. The game I was doing, we just had the 130 minutes, and then we were able to get back to play. But, that can be really frustrating, I think. The one thing I thought was a little bit humorous about it, so they made the teams go into the school, and they asked the fans, will you please all go sit in your car or whatever? We want you out of the, you know, nobody moved. I mean, the teams did, but none of the fans are. Yeah, I'm a baseball fan. I'm used to snow, rain, hail, sleet, 110, whatever. I'm a baseball fan. I'm not scared of a little lightning, but yeah, I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a very strict lightning policy.
Probably better safe than sorry.
Yes.
I wrote a story last year about lightning and sports, and it's actually been quite a few years since anyone died in a sporting. I think it was '90s or something. There were some soccer players that got struck by lightning. So it's been a long time. But if you think about the possibility, you only have to be wrong once in this instance, and then you regret it forever.
Yeah.
So
This time of year, and then the fall, we'll deal with it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've been to a football game or two with the lightning delays, and most of the fans don't leave the stands there either. Big old lightning rod, you know, aluminum stands, but they don't leave.
In fact, last year at Water Canyon's graduation, we had to hurry and move them all across the street.
Into the gym.
And we were carried because we had a squall come through. It was thunder. It was lightning.
Bumper,
it was wind. And we were grabbing balloons. We were dragging everything we could to make it kind of fancy it up a little bit and put it together quick. And
I don't know about this year. Right now, it shows
a little stress.
It shows there's a chance.
A chance of storm Monday. So
now we only have 3 minutes. I want to ask you guys, do you remember your high school graduation and what was the feeling you got? And I'll start first. Mine was, so I was a great student up through my junior year. And then I got a nasty case of senioritis, man. I did my senior year. I played sports. I played in the band, and that's pretty much all I did my whole senior year. I think I had 2 required classes left. I had a math and an English left, and that was it. And so, when I got to graduation, it was kind of like, phew, I made it, because math and English, I was barely getting by just because I had to graduate. And, what about you guys? Do you remember the feelings, back then? Well, Steve, you go first.
Did you even graduate?
I graduated, darn it. Yeah, I don't remember the actual ceremony.
Which high school was it?
Highland High School, Highland, up, okay, in Sugar House.
You were a Ram,
Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I remember lining up in the hallway in my cap and gown with all my friends. And then I remember in the courtyard talking with my pals afterwards. I don't remember anything of the ceremony. Whoever spoke, whatever they said. Don't remember a word.
Hmm. You know, a great question and a great thing for you to end with. I remember mine, all 12 of us that graduated.
Now, where was this?
Yeah, Eastern Oregon, a teeny little school there.
Okay.
And it was great. We were all close friends. And but I was a little similar, even in a small school. That senior year, I was, I don't know what.
You're done, yeah.
And I think we forget that, yeah. You know, and we look at our seniors, you need to get in school, take more classes, because they get like that, and they work and do a lot of credits, some online, and yeah. So they can have fewer at the end. Mm-hmm. But I think my second half of the year, I only went to school for a half a day and then did a work release program, yeah, and went to work. But I have nothing but wonderful memories of my high school, my schooling. But yeah, I got senioritis.
What was the name of that school? I'm curious.
Powder Valley High School.
Powder Valley. All right.
Yeah, we are the Badgers.
The Powder Valley Badgers.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Pretty,
yeah,
cool. That yeah, is great. That beats the Highland Rams. I was a West Jordan Jaguar.
There we go.
All right.
Nice. Which everybody, I said West Jordan. Oh, you were the Beat Diggers, right? No, that's Jordan. High. We were school, west, yeah, of them. But yeah. Well, guys, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you,
as we run short on time. Richard, I really appreciate you coming in and sharing your
so.
A lot. I don't know if you feel it, but there is a lot of pressure on the superintendent. But a lot of people look to you and go, "Okay, well, what's he going to decide, and what's he going to, you know, push? What agenda does he have, or whatever?" And I feel like right now the Washington School County School District is under good leadership. I think you're doing
you.
A great job.
You know, we have amazing administrators at the district level and the school level. We're the best district.
Yes. I love it.
And it's because of the people. There's just a special spirit here in Washington County, whether it's our pioneer ancestors that resonate that, just great people here, great students, and great employees.
And to continue on with the pick on Steve day.
Yeah, let's do it.
Somehow you have overcome having Steve as part of your staff, and you're still excelling. That's pretty amazing.
There we go.
Steve's amazing, actually.
Hey, Steve, thank you for coming to.
You're always a pleasure to sit here in the side.
And we'll get into Steve's taste in music. Richard, I don't know if he's told you about his like for certain bands that are somewhat questionable from back in the day. We're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening.